just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This time we will continue the service by reciting together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Charles and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading today comes to us from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. is to condemn. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, having heard God's word, we join together in speaking the words of our faith. Words that Charles confessed with us many times. Today we'll do that using the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you need the words to the Creed, they are printed for you on the back flap of your hymnal. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." You may be seated. Our next hymn is number 744, and it's Amazing Grace. Thank you. say that I probably first got to really know Charles and also you, Eileen, kind of from a distance for maybe those first 5 years that I've been here in Boylton. I remember always seeing you guys, and I'd look up on Sunday mornings, and right there in that pew on that side, and maybe we'd have a chance to greet one another on the way out of the service or something like that. But it was not until all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, when I finally had an opportunity to really get to know you guys and really get to know who Charles was. And of course, unfortunately, it was a lot to do with some of the health concerns that he was dealing with. And I know it's been kind of crazy, you know, back and forth into the hospital, into nursing homes, back home. Every once in a while, you'd think that things were going to be okay for quite a while, but then something would happen. He'd fall, or, you know, there'd be some other issue, and you'd have to go back. And so I know it's been kind of like a whirlwind for the last couple of years, and especially the last couple of months, for sure. And, you know, for me, as a pastor, I would say there's a silver lining in all of that, because it gave me an opportunity to actually really get to talk to Charlie and talk with him about meaningful things. Like, he would share some of his memories with me at his bedside of things like his experience in the military. He told me a few stories from childhood, things like that. But I would say, you know, the most important things that we got to talk about were having to do with his faith. You know, we talked about the hope that he had, even beyond the things that he was dealing with that were right in front of his face, and things that made him uncomfortable. But we did talk about that faith and the fact that God was still in control. And I remember specifically every time I would start to kind of talk about the gospel, share the gospel, he would get this look on his face. So he would kind of do this thing, or he would close his eyes, and he would give a big nod like this. So I would start talking about Jesus. He'd do this big nod. And I came to learn that that was sort of like his amen. When I was sharing the scriptures with him, that was the amen. That meant that he was tracking with me. And this last time that I got to see him, right before he passed away, Eileen, you were there, and we got to share communion together, right there in his room at Centralia Manor. And I think that it's really wonderful that in spite of all of the many challenges that he was facing, and the fact that he was obviously not very physically comfortable, and he obviously wanted to be able to go back home, that in the midst of all of those things, he didn't lose his faith. He didn't fall into despair. He didn't become angry with God, but instead he still expressed this desire to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, for the strengthening of his faith. I saw Charlie draw closer to God in those moments, knowing that he needed to rely upon the Lord, especially when life was difficult. So here we are today, and we're gathered to reflect upon the 86 years of life that the Lord graciously gave to Charlie on this earth. And we're also gathered, I think, very appropriately on November 2nd. And the reason I find that appropriate is because yesterday was the day that the church observed All Saints Day. And in fact, this coming weekend, this coming Sunday, we're going to have our All Saints Sunday once again. And that's the day when we do remember those who have gone before us, those saints who are in heaven, rejoicing before the throne of the Lamb. And this year, we will be able to include Charles' name on Sunday. We'll be remembering him, even though it's just been 1 week, essentially, from Sunday to Sunday since he passed. So what a blessing that is. And sometimes people say All Saints Day or All Saints Sunday feels like a funeral. And in some ways, it kind of is. But I would say funerals and All Saints services, they share this other thing in common, too, which is they are reasons to celebrate. They are reasons to rejoice. Even though it does hurt to be separated from our loved ones who have gone before us to be in heaven, we are reminded on a day like today, and on a day like All Saints, we're reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ won the victory over death. He won the victory over the grave. So we hear that passage that I just read from Revelation 7, we hear about this big crowd, this multitude that nobody can number, and they're all wearing white robes and from every people and tribe and language. And it's amazing to see that the way that John describes it, that vision of heaven is not a somber funeral, but what he's describing is a party. What he's describing are people who are rejoicing before the Lamb, shouting out with a loud voice, shouting with joy. And now, if you can somehow imagine it, that multitude that St. John saw now includes Charles. Even though he was kind of a quiet guy, right? He wasn't somebody that was, you know, very loud or boisterous, right? Kind of kept to himself. But he is right now in that crowd, in that multitude, crying out with a loud voice that salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb. What a blessing that is. So the whole point of that passage that St. John writes in Revelation 7 is to remind us that Jesus, who is the Lamb who once was slain, is now alive. And because Jesus is alive, that means all who belong to Jesus are alive. That means that Charles is alive. That means that you and I are alive spiritually, even though there are times when we feel that our sin makes us dead inside. We are alive for eternity because of what the Lamb has done. The righteousness of Christ has covered all of our sins. There's nothing that can take that away. Not even when one day, just like Charlie, our bodies are going to breathe their last on earth. Nothing, not even death, as we heard in the epistle reading, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think that's really comforting on a day like today. So what I'd like for you to hear above everything else is that Jesus Christ came into this world to bring comfort troubled hearts. Anyone who has had to deal with the brokenness of this life and the reality of the death that surrounds us all, every one of us needs to hear those words on a daily basis. Christ's love and peace is especially comforting for people who have seen trouble with their own two eyes, who have experienced trouble in their hearts. The words that Jesus says in the gospel reading today particularly ring true right at the beginning. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Now, we can hear those words on a day like today, and we can take a look at this casket up here, and we can say, well, yeah, right. How am I supposed to not let my heart be troubled on a day like today? But consider for just a moment that when Jesus spoke those words to his disciples, that was actually just a few hours before he himself would undergo the crucifixion. It was the night before Good Friday when Jesus is speaking to his disciples in this way. They've been walking with Jesus for at least 3 years up to this point. They've seen all these amazing things, witnessed these miracles, heard his teachings, and all of a sudden, he's talking about going away from them. And yet, he expects them not to be anxious and not to be troubled. How can that be? Well, because first he says, believe in God. God, the Father, the Almighty One, the one who created us and all that exists, the one who's able to number the very hairs on your head. This God loves us more than all the other things that he created, and he showed us that by sending his one and only Son into this world to die for us. We can trust God because he made us and he loves us. He made and loves Charlie too. He doesn't stop there. It says, believe in God, but then Jesus says, believe also in me. Christ himself is able to give us comfort in the face of death. And here's a good example. When Jesus went to be with Lazarus's sisters right after he had died, Mary and Martha, one of the things that he said to them to bring them assurance was, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never said that day is true. Well, you fast forward to when Jesus was crucified on the cross, and what does he say from the cross? He says, "It is finished." What's finished? Sin and death themselves are finished. Fast forward again to Easter Sunday, and you have Jesus risen from the tomb, right? Victory over death. And there's an angel at the tomb who says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said." Jesus was raised from the dead, and it means everyone who belongs to him will be raised on the last day too. Charlie believed that Christ gave him his life, not just his earthly life, but his spiritual life. Life to the fullest, life that never comes to an end because of Jesus. So you got those two things, believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus wasn't done yet. He says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" We look at that and we think about that from our limited earthly perspective, and it's really hard for us to picture exactly what is this place that the Lord has gone to prepare. What is it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? But we don't have to worry about those details. The comfort in the promise is not necessarily in figuring out all the details of the promise while we're still on this side of heaven. The comfort in the promise is in the one who makes the promise, right? The one who is the way and the truth and the life. He's the one who goes to personally prepare a place for each one of us. He's gone to personally prepare a place for Charles and for you and for me. And I just can't think of any better place preparer than Jesus himself. So this is a comforting thing. What it comes down to is when we think about that vision in Revelation chapter 7, we see that that vision is fulfilled for people like Charlie who have gone before us into heaven, became part of that multitude of saints in the white robes praising God. There's this really great hymn in our hymnal that describes it like this. "Despised and scorned, they sojourned here, but now how glorious they appear. Those saints, they stand, a priestly band, God's throne forever near. On earth, they wept through bitter years. Now, God has wiped away their tears, transformed their strife to heavenly life, and freed them from their fears." What a blessing. And yet, there's still more. There's more for Charlie, and there's more for us too. Because Jesus has promised us that on the last day, he's going to raise us up from the dead. Someday, we're going to be reunited with our bodies, except with the stains of our sin completely washed off and the sting of death destroyed forever. The whole creation is going to see Jesus in his glory and every tear wiped away from our eyes. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Charlie's going to be there too. And together, we're going to live for eternity. We're going to be shouting for joy, even those of us who are a little bit quieter here on earth, in that place which is so much better than any place we could possibly imagine. So to God alone be the glory now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin, rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to the family of Charles Sanders and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Charles and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today.